Speaking of, did you know there's a fourth step to stop, drop, and roll now?
What? Is it get back up?
No, it's not.
Is it treat your burns?
It's cover your face. Stop, drop, roll, and cover your face.
I feel like it should be stop, drop, cover your face, roll.
Stop, cover your face, drop, roll.
Hmm. Well.
Yeah, I mean.
Well-met adventurers, my name is Lee.
I'm Joe, and welcome to Mage Productions.
Every episode I've done, the intro singer has been nothing at all related.
I think that's when we started doing it like that, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry for the decline
Thank
in
you.
Quality of your podcast.
No, it's only gone up.
No.
It's only gone up.
Well, I'm still sorry.
Don't be.
No.
No.
All right, well.
I mean, we keep inviting you back, so.
So you're a horrible judge in character, and I appreciate that in a human, so.
Sure.
I'm not going to argue with that on either, Cal. Mm-hmm.
Neither am I. Not at all.
Yeah, so.
For this week, we have Megan Lynn for the win back with us.
Hello.
Hello.
It's our resident, non-resident systems guru.
Well, pretty much. No pressure.
No pressure at all.
Resident, resident. Yeah. I don't know.
Resident of the internet.
Resident of the internet.
That's right. We had that conversation before.
I do like lots of systems, so I guess that is apropos.
Absolutely. However, this week we're talking about something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
GM-less systems.
GM-less systems.
It's like sacrilege to all the D&D fans, right?
I know. I've known people that I'm like, oh, like, I'm going to play like some GM-less games and some prep-less games, and people are just like, how does that work? I'm like, well, there's not a GM and you don't have to prep and it's a game. But yeah, it's a very foreign concept to people who are used to like prep heavy games or like games that cannot run without somebody dictating the action.
Yeah.
But it's been such a big part of my gaming life, and like I've transitioned, like most of my games that I play now are GM-less and prep-less, because it's just something where like all you need is a group of friends that have the same chunk of time free, which is a challenge in and of itself.
Yes.
But nobody, you don't need to like wait around and find somebody to run the game. You just need a few friends with a couple hours, and you just go, and it's fantastic.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I am one of those absolutely baffled people, and my first instinct is like, isn't that a board game?
That was the comparison I was making in my head.
No. Well,
you sound so sure about that.
That was a very confident no.
Well, I think it depends exactly like on the game, because there are some games that are GM-less that are like card based, and there are ones that are like map drawing, world building based. So like you do have, but it's more of like you have somebody that's in like a facilitator role, who is a player and is not dictating the actions. They're just it's more or less like sharing the rules and like facilitating the game itself than like actually running it. Like they're just a player.
Okay.
I'm following that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like a lot of them will have a facilitator. Like, so actually only one of the ones that I am going to talk about has a facilitator. The other ones are just, you just go, you just need some friend. You just need some friends in a PDF and you just go.
Just some friends in a PDF.
In like 2 to 3 hours.
Sure. Sure. Fair enough. Well, you have some prep for us, or some ready to talk about. So.
I do. I brought some faves with me, and it was very hard to decide because there are a bunch that I love a lot. But when you had first suggested talking about some GM-less games, like, and you had said it to me as well, because I never shut up about this game in its dialect, which is my current favorite game. to play. It is, it's just so good. like I said, so Dialect, it's by Thorny Games. It is just one of the most beautiful games that I've ever played. Like, it's currently my favorite game to play. The PDF and like the book itself are stunningly beautiful. Like, the game design that went into designing, like, and formatting the book are gorgeous, in addition to the game itself being gorgeous. So that's another, like, really cool thing that I love about it. And I think, Lee, you've seen the PDF.
I have, yes. It is.
And it's so pretty.
It's so pretty.
And that's usually, like, what the first thing, if I, like, share the PDF with someone, they're like, this is so pretty. I'm like, So beyond being a pretty looking game and a pretty to play game, the elevator pitch, as it were, for Dialect is you and your group of friends, your players. It's ideally four players. It gets longer if you have more players, but there's no like set cap of players. But so you and the players are telling the story of an isolation. So a community that is isolated from everything else, and you are telling the story of the language that only they speak there. So you are developing this language that is only spoken by this isolation, and then you're telling the story of the isolation as the isolation evolves and then eventually comes to an end through their language, which is such a cool, unique take on like telling the story of a community, that is just insanely good and will leave you like these games. And I'll touch on it later, like tend to hit very hard. At least most of the games that I have played of Dialect have been very emotionally wrought, because it's not a sad game. It doesn't have to be a sad game, but a lot of the ways that the stories go end up kind of being that way, because it's about an isolation ending. So it's about this community and their way of life ending, and it can be, it ends because everybody dies, and I've played that, or it could be it ends because the outside world comes and like rescues these people and they have to like go back into like normal life, which is a little less sad. But I mean, it will leave you with like these words that you choose and you create, like, will stick with you. Like, there are certain phrases and words from games I've played that like immediately elicit a very emotional reaction in me and the people I've played these games with, which is really cool for what is essentially a one-shot game to have such a lasting, profound effect, like over the course of like a few hours of play, like something to be so intense.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I have yet to play a one-shot of Dialect. It's usually two or three sessions is generally good, just because the world building part of it does take so much time, and that's where you really want to spend your time. You can play it in one go round, but my recommendation is just take the time you need to make the game like everything it can be.
Yeah.
All right, so now, so yes, it's an awesome game about language. It can be very sad. There's a YouTube video of a game that I played on a friend's Twitch channel that ended with the last 15 minutes, all of us were just sobbing.
Oh, gosh.
As we, like, finished the game. Like, it's that raw and good. Like, it's just, I'll probably say it a million times, like, it's just really good. but playing the game itself, so Dialect, there is a Roll20 version of Dialect. It's not a game that like really lends itself to Roll20, but there is a card aspect of the game, so having that Roll20 is very useful, because there is a card aspect. But the game starts with choosing your backdrop. There are about a dozen different backdrops in the book, that some of them were written by the creators of the game, and then others were written by other prominent game designers. And so the first thing you do is pick your backdrop. There's so many varied backdrops. There's an outpost on Mars. There's a group of thieves. There's like an isolated island after a biohazard event. There's like a boarding school like up in the mountains. Like there's a bunch of, depending on what kind of game, I played one where you were all like everyone was toys. So the isolation is like toys.
Cool.
Like living out like their lives, like as their kid like grows up.
So like
Toy Story,
a Toy Story theme.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds so pretty fun.
Yeah. It was very cool. I was Rainbow Bright. It was awesome. We had Rainbow Bright. We had a Power Ranger. We had a Megazord, and we had Skipper, Barbie's less popular sister. Who definitely didn't have a complex, because we decided that Barbie was the cool wine aunt of all of the toys, and Skipper had a bit of a complex about it.
Oh gosh.
I love it already.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Can, like, so once you choose your backdrop, this is really like, this game does need a facilitator, but really it's just going through the book. And it's set up so easily to do all of this world building. So you pick your backdrop and then you develop your aspects, which are three cornerstones of your isolation, like three things that are inherent to life in your isolation. They give you two to start, and then you make a third one based on what world you've created with the first two.
Sure.
So like for example, when we did the Mars Colony game that I played, we had like one of our aspects was the facility where all of our water and produce and stuff was grown. And then mm-hmm. we had like a social contract as one of them. So like, it's that kind of thing. It's like things that are very integral to the world itself. I played a cyberpunk game where we killed Jeff Bezos and freed the world from his cyber terror. We were just a bunch of like renegade train robbers that were just went out to kill Jeff Bezos, which was, I mean,
like,
you know,
you
it is sort of yeah, as you do. Yeah. Well, we didn't set mm-hmm. off for it to be that, but like 15 minutes in, we're like, who runs this biodome that they're not letting anybody else in? And we have to break into this biodome. We're like, oh, it's definitely Jeff Bezos.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah.
So once you have your backdrop, once you have your aspects, so like your world itself is starting to come together, you create your characters. And the character creation is very cool, because what you do is you create your character based on an archetype. So you'll draw your cards. Everybody gets three cards, and you pick your character, your archetype from those three cards. And it's things like the leader, the explorer, the innocent, the sage, the jester. And it's each of them, they're very broad archetypes, and it'll tell you like traits of that character. And then it'll be say something along the lines of like, you believe in all three aspects and you take one of them too far, or you believe in two of the aspects and think one of them is ridiculous. Like, it's that kind of thing to like further ingrain your character into the world and its values, which makes for some really cool character dynamics. So, and then once you have picked your aspect, then you kind of build like, what's their name? What do they do? How did they get here? And you build it from there, but you're based in this one archetype. And it's a really cool way of doing it, because it really breaks down a ton of different kinds of characters that you can play. And it breaks it down to like its base, so that you can build so much up from what very little they give you, in a way that still feels like fully realized and fits in the setting.
That's so cool.
It's so cool.
That's so cool.
It's so cool. It's just such a good game. Should be like a tracker. It's like Megan and Matt said, it's such a good game 85 times. So that is all of your setup. So you've created your world and you've created your aspects. You've created your characters. So the game is played in three, technically four phases. And the gameplay is super easy. What you do is everybody gets a set of three cards at the beginning of the phase, and they're all prompt cards. And it'll be things like sadness, happiness, good luck, love. And it gives you prompts, and you create a word that means the prompt that is specific to the isolation. So it'll be like, what does this isolation say for good luck? That's not good luck. So together as a group, you kind of talk it out based on what the isolation is and like what kind of words they would pull from to like create a new that would have evolved into this new word. Mm-hmm. That means a certain thing. And each card will have like the type of word and then a scene prompt on it. Mm-hmm. So once you've picked your word, and they have a beautiful index in the back of the book and in the PDF of kind of like linguistic tips.
Cool.
If you want to like really, really get into it, like creating all new words. But a lot of the times we'll just like when I've played, we'll kind of distort existing words because it's supposed to be kind of like it used to be this. And throughout time, it has become this. And then mm-hmm. once you've created this word or phrase or saying or whatever it is, you pick the characters. So based on, there's a scene prompt at the bottom of the cards. You pick the characters you think would be in a scene, and then you RP a scene in which you use the word.
Cool.
Yeah. And that's it. You go around. Everybody does that in the round. So if you have four people, you do four, you'll create four words, you'll mm-hmm. do four scenes. And then you do a phase, an age transition where you move into the second act of the game. And each backdrop has a specific set of prompts. So there's two columns of prompts and you pick which path you're going to go down. Mm-hmm. Basically, you'll be like, we can either do X or Y, and depending on what we pick in phase two, determines the path that the isolation is now on towards its end. You evolve one of your aspects. So you like shift one of your existing aspects to fit what change has occurred going into the next phase. Mm-hmm. And then you do it all again. Everybody play, you go around, wow. play a card, make up words, play the scenes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The gameplay itself is so simple. It's just making cool words and playing scenes and playing this and just playing the story of these people in their isolation.
Wow.
So there are three phases, three ages, and then you get to the epilogue and you draw what's called a legacy card, and it's got three prompts on it. And you pick one and you basically epilogue your character based on the prompt. And everybody goes around and epilogues their character.
Mm. Wow.
Based on that prompt.
Wow. So what's been your favorite word?
Oh, well, mm-hmm. So my favorite one, I'm actually planning on getting a tattoo of it. It has been that.
Cool.
So this intense. Is like a super favorite word.
It is a super. So it's a phrase. So it was, the prompt was, I'm almost positive the prompt was promise, mm-hmm. but this was from our Mars Colony one. And the phrase was until we see the stars. So it's saying like, I'm going to love you until we see the stars. I'm going to like be here for you. It's like a promise of longevity because they're in this colony where at the time they're in a colony and the building is failing. And it was only a matter of time before literally the roof was going to blow off of this thing.
Oh,
so it's saying like snap. Until the end of the line, like until there's nothing above us but stars, like I am here with you.
Wow.
So yeah, very intense. But yeah. Now like with this group of people that I played with, like that is like the equivalent of like I love you, mm-hmm. basically, or like we're going to be friends until we see the stars, like just forever. So yeah, it's like I've done some very Rusty dialect games where the words were just ridiculous, but like there have been some really, really beautiful ones. That Mars game especially, like I, in for better or worse, like I can never play that backdrop again is kind of like where it is. Like I can't play another game with the Mars Outpost backdrop. And I know that goes for everybody else who was in that game too, because it's just so special and so set apart that I'm like, nope, can't do it.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And dialect has that power that you can play a game so good that you're like, I don't want to see what else the setting can do because I've already done what I want to do with it. And there are plenty of other options of backdrops that you can choose from. So it's not like you're crippling yourself by saying, I don't want to play this one. There's still a dozen to choose from. Play dialect, everyone. Please play dialect.
Play dialect.
It's just, it's a beautiful, beautiful game. Even if you don't want to get super emotional about it, if you want to just have like a fun romp where you're all playing toys, like you can do that. Like It doesn't have to have a sad ending. Like I played a game that had like a really sweet, happy ending when the isolation ended. Like it's completely up to you and the people you're playing with. But I can't recommend it enough. The Roll20 is like $8 or something insanely affordable like that. Like it's so good. It's so good. Mm. It's worth like every cent.
That's awesome.
It sold out at PAX. In like the first half, of Friday.
Oh my gosh.
Like it was so pop. Like it's that.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, no, me neither. I'm very glad I bought mine at like 10 a.m. on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like, it's absolutely incredible.
Wow.
Cannot recommend it enough. Yep. No prep involved. No GM. You just need a everybody doesn't even need a copy of the game. Like really just the facilitator needs a copy of the game to read like the age transition prompts.
Sure.
So you really don't need much to play. And don't be intimidated by like, I know I was super intimidated the first time I played it with like the idea of making up words, but it's not like you're creating a language, but you're creating a language out of stuff that exists. You're not like going at it like the people on Game of Thrones who made up a bunch of new languages. Like
that's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, do I have to like make sounds and be like, and this means pizza?
No, absolutely not. It's much simpler than that. Which is
cool.
Great. Yeah.
I mean, I'll make up sounds too, but
I mean, you can definitely make up sounds. Like that's totally fine. Like the game is whatever you want it to be. If you have a bunch of people that are like, we're going in on this, like we are creating a new language, by all means, more power to you.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's dialect. Play dialect. It's such a good game.
Is it a good game?
It's a good game.
Is it?
It's
a good game. I think I've heard somewhere that it was.
Yeah.
Somebody said it.
It's a good
might
game.
Might have been, you know, once or twice.
It might be overdue. I periodically scream, like every so often, I'm like, it's been 3 weeks since I've yelled about how good dialect is. It's time to climb up on my soapbox and yell once again how good dialect is for
that's
the world.
Awesome. That is awesome. And you have another one for us, right?
I have another one. So my other one that I brought with me is For the Queen by Alex Roberts. It is a fantastic game. It is a deck based game. So of course visuals on a podcast are really useful, but I'll show
they are.
So this is For the Queen.
Wow, look at that.
It's like a tarot deck sized set of cards. Also on Roll20 for like $7. Wow. And I know that because I just bought it. Because as cool as it is to have the physical game, when most of the people you play games with live in your computer, you need a computer version to play it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's on Roll20 in the marketplace. It's so good. So For the Queen, so easy. You are telling the story of a queen and her retinue going on this journey a diplomatic journey to another country that your country is at war with, is the basic premise of it. And the really cool thing about it is you go into it with nothing. There is no character creation stage. There's no world building stage. Nothing. You start the game. There's a set of 14 or 15 instruction cards, and you go around in a circle and you go through and read the instruction cards aloud to each other. And then you start the game. So the instruction, oh, here it is. So the base, yeah, the land you live in has been at war for as long as any of you have been alive. The queen is going on a long journey to broker an alliance with a distant power. She has chosen all of you and no one else to come with her. She chose you because she knows you love her. That is the only world building that you get. Is that the people playing the game are the only ones with the queen, and you are with her because you love her. Now, that can mean a bajillion different things.
Right.
Because, mm-hmm. Like I said, there's no character creation. So the character creation happens through a series of questions. So the deck itself is prompt questions. Of course, I put it. So the deck itself is prompt questions that are things like, what brings out the queen's kindness? You think sometimes you might be the queen's favorite. Why? What promise did the queen make to you? It's these kind of things. So what you're doing is you're establishing who you are as a character, and you're also establishing what kind of person the queen is. And you do that collaboratively as a group. So not knowing what kind of character you're playing, if you draw a card and it's like you think you might be the queen's favorite, that could be, you would say, be like, oh, I know I'm the queen's favorite because I'm her husband, or I know I'm the queen's favorite because I'm her sister, because I'm like her most loyal handmaiden, because like there's any character you want to play, you decide as you go through these cards.
Mm.
And once
I like
you,
that.
Yeah, it's so cool. And once you answer your question, so you have the question, you answer it, then all of the other players can ask you follow-up questions based on the answer you gave that further fleshes things out. And once they're done asking you follow-up questions, it moves to the next person who draws a card and answers it.
Hmm.
And you just go around like that until somewhere in the deck there is a card that says, the queen is under attack, do you defend her? Which is a yes or no question, and everybody goes around and answers the question, and the game is over.
Wow.
It's that easy.
That's cool.
It's so fun because, like, I'm a planner. I like what things are going on. So like I'll go into games thinking like, all right, I think this time like I'm gonna try to be the queen's whatever. And the first card I draw will be like, well, that doesn't work for my idea, so we are figuring this out on the fly now. But it's so cool that nothing is established until you start asking questions. Like you don't know anything about the queen, you don't know anything about yourself, and you don't know anything about anybody else. And it's also cool to create the story of this queen through the eyes of the people who are with her, mm-hmm. rather than her having like any agency. Mm-hmm. Like it's all created through this group of people that's traveling with her. But you create like the past, you create the present, and then when the queen's under attack, you determine her future.
I really like that.
It seems like a really good exercise in improv.
It's very good, mm-hmm. and you do have to adapt to things. Yeah. Especially like if you answer a question that somebody else like does a follow-up question, you're like, oh, all right. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely very, very good improv practice. And the system itself, so For the Queen is a game, Descended from the Queen is the name, is what they call the system of, mm-hmm. just doing deck, doing like the prompts and stuff like that and telling a story that way, is like open license. So like I wrote a hack for it, about clones trying to find the person that created them. I know Kiana S on Twitter did a really cool one called Oh Maker, where it's like an android trying to find their creator.
Wow.
Which is also really cool. So like a friend of mine is working on one in the style of like Final Fantasy X, where it's for the Chosen One, and it's like the Chosen One and their group of like guardians as they're going to like carry out their destiny. Like, so there's so many cool, cool options like within this system. It's so easy to play. So, and you can tell any kind of story. So also in the deck is a good chunk of queen cards, and it's gorgeous artwork of all these different women. So you start the game by picking which queen is yours. And using that, you can use that as inspiration as well for what kind of person you think she is from the start.
I really like that it's more of like telling the story of the past, but you're basically building the story of the past instead of like, okay, we're going to go, like, I mean, with most D&D and stuff like that, you're playing into the future, basically. Right. So you're creating what's happening to try and get to this end goal. But this is more of like, no, this is what happened.
Right. And there are some cards that are like, what does the queen do on this journey to assure you XYZ? Like, there are some things that do take, but for the most part, it's either like objective questions about her, like what brings out her kindness, what brings out her cruelty, what does she love? But then it's also like, she did this once, she did this once, she did this once. And it's telling the backstory as well. It's much more like either like very objective or past focused. You're not playing out the journey. Mm-hmm. That's just the framework in which the game takes place.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's so simple.
It is.
But there's so many possibilities.
But it can go so deep.
Oh,
it can.
Yeah. And the replayability is a thousandfold. Like,
at that point.
You will never play this even remotely close to the same game, even with the same people. You'll never play the same game twice.
About how long is a game?
So a lot of it depends on when the card, like, it ends when that card is drawn,
sure.
which is good, though. So normally most games I've played have been between 2 and 3 hours.
Okay.
But because the end is that one trigger, if you're playing a game and you think it's going long, you can just be like, all right, we're just going to cut to the end and do it that way. Like, it's very easy to cut for time if you need to. So you could play a game that only lasts an hour. Or you can play a game that lasts like 3+ hours. It depends on how much time you want to spend building this world.
Wow.
And it's great. Like I carried it with me in my purse at PAX and played it while I was waiting for food at Smashburger. Like, nice. It's so easy to just like pick up it. Like, I've played it with friends like in a brewery, just like sitting at a table in a brewery. Like, it's so, because it's so portable and small, that you can just like, and there's nothing required other than the deck.
Just about to say, it sounds like it would be a really good con game.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like a waiting in line. Yeah,
I'm
waiting
tired.
In line.
I'm gonna
game.
Sit down for 30 minutes. Hey, let's do this.
Yeah, and the setup is literally like, you put the queen card in the middle, you put the X card next to it, and then you have your discard pile. That's all. Like, that's all the space you need to do it.
Cool.
And if you're interested in seeing how it plays, plug time. I'm gonna plug.
Plug.
I am going to be hosting a monthly stream on the Chromatic Chimera on Twitch, called Unprepared, because I so often am. where once a month I'm going to have a different cast of players, and I'm going to be facilitating GMless and Prepless games. So tomorrow, the 25th at 7 Eastern, we are playing for the Queen. I've got some amazing players. So we're going to be playing for the Queen from 7 to 10 on twitch.tv/chromaticchimera. Next month in March, we're going to be playing Dialect. As a two-parter.
Cool.
So clearly mm-hmm. when I want to make a game about GMless games and you ask me on your podcast to talk about GMless games, I'm going to pick my favorites.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So you can come check us out playing for the Queen tomorrow night. It'll be up on YouTube if you can't make it then, but just to see it in action. And yeah, it's so simple. It's a great con game, a great waiting game, a great, like, hey, we just have a couple hours to kill and this fits in my purse. Like, you want to play? Like, there's very, very little involved. And the Roll20 is super, super cheap. So go grab it and play with your friends.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I need a
Alex
purse.
Roberts. Yeah, you do. Just like a utilitarian satchel.
Yeah.
Just like Alex Roberts designs absolutely amazing games. They are incredible. So cannot recommend. For the Queen, their other game is Starcrossed, which is also one of my favorite games. So,
well, maybe you can come back and talk to us about Starcrossed sometime too. Mm-hmm.
Nobody has enough time for me to talk about Starcrossed. But my three second pitch is, it's like Dread if your goal was kissing at the end. It's a romance game with a Jenga tower. It's like Dread if you'd rather smooch than be scared.
Well, I'm intrigued.
Okay.
Oh, well, Megan, thank you so much for joining us and talking to us. I can talk too about GMless systems. If people have any questions, want to know more or anything, where can they find you?
You can find me mainly screaming on Twitter about all sorts of things, mostly GMless games, at Megan Lynn FTW on Twitter. You can also find some of the games that I have written, because I am a game designer, which feels very weird to say, but I have games up on itch.io, so Megan Lynn FTW .itch.io. Got a couple in there. So I do, like I said, I have a hack of For the Queen about clones, which is pretty cool. Let me see. You can find me, like I said, once a month on Chromatic Chimera hosting Unprepared. You can also find me there every Monday playing in the an Eberron stream, where I play a very bookish, naive wizard who is the result of me taking Milo Thatch from Atlantis and Evelyn O'Connell from The Mummy and smushing them both together to make a really nerdy half-elf wizard.
This is perfect.
It is.
Yeah, and that's what I've got going on right now. That's me.
That's
come
awesome.
Come hang out and listen nice. To me. Come hang out on Twitter and listen to me shout about how much I need Red Bull to live and how much I love RPGs.
It's a good life. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much again. That was
absolutely
that was great.
You are so welcome. Thank you for continually having me back to talk about games that I love very much.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Passion shows.
Yes.
If you would like to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at @mage_podcast or check out our website, mageproductions.com.
Or if you just want to tell other people how much you love the show and that they should listen, you can leave us a 5-star review, go and review us wherever you get your podcast from. We really love to see those and read what you think.
And we would like to give a huge shout out to our partners and sponsors, SoNerdWear.com, a place to find fun clothing and accessories tailored for tabletop geeks and nerds everywhere. They're also on Twitter at SoNerdWear. So you can go to SoNerdWear.com and search for Mage Productions to find all of our cool swag. And then once you find everything, and you can use code MAGE to get 10% off your entire order.